A lot of men wonder what happens to their sex life after prostate cancer. Well, today, we're going to find out.
This podcast deals with prostate cancer, surgery, medication, and other medical topics. The host is a prostate cancer survivor who is recounting his experience with treatment. He is not a medical professional, and you should not use his commentary as medical advice. Please always consult a medical professional when learning about and understanding prostate cancer or any other disease.
Well, I'm having a great day. I hope you're having a great day as well. My name is Mark, and this is Mark's Prostate Cancer Experience. This is a podcast series that I've put together to help any of you that may be newly diagnosed or have had prostate cancer surgery, and you're just looking for answers. I want to say, as the lead-in mentioned, I'm not a doctor, but I did go through a lot with prostate cancer, from being diagnosed to having surgery to now facing possible recurrence almost 9 years later. And I just wanted to share with you what my view is on the disease. But in this particular episode, we're going to be talking about sex, S-E-X, sex. That's right, sexual function and everything to do with it. This is an area that we don't really get a lot of content on. You're going to find, if you sit and talk to your doctors about sex as it relates to prostate cancer, and more specifically after surgery or even after radiation, you're going to get some vague answers. But I wanted to tell you what happened to me, which was actually very positive, in the hopes that you will have the same experience as well. And also some of the things to think about and to do to prepare yourself for surgery or radiation to possibly minimize the effect of sexual dysfunction after prostate cancer. I'll have other episodes in the future that talk about other aspects about the disease, from surgery to continence to other things as well. But today it's all about sex. This isn't the first video and podcast I've posted about this subject. It happens to be the topic that seems to get the most requests for information. Also, my most rated YouTube video of all time was one where I talk about sex after prostate cancer. So I just wanted to maybe refresh the content a little bit and bring it up to date. I'm recording this in 2024. My original videos go back as far as 2015. So this is quite a leap in the future. But as this is a podcast, I will try to tailor the content so that if you're listening to this particular episode, you'll get just as much as if you're watching the video. And actually, I don't really have any graphics today. It's just me on camera, but some people like to see the person that who's speaking. Anyway, let's talk about that topic, sex. So when you are diagnosed with prostate cancer and you're going to have treatment, the treatment method that I chose was surgery, a prostatectomy, where they remove the entire prostate. That tends to be the recommended method if you are young enough and able enough. Radiation is certainly something that does work. They tend to reserve radiation treatment for men who are a little bit older, who maybe can't tolerate surgery as well. But the prostatectomy is sort of the gold standard. And for the most part, because of the way technology has advanced and the use of robotic surgery techniques like the Da Vinci system, the surgery to remove your prostate is very precise and, for the most part, very effective. So your prostate gland has a couple of functions. One of them is to control urine flow. It is one of the valves for urine, as is your sphincter as well. But it also regulates the production of ejaculate. So when you are having sex and you have an orgasm and you ejaculate, the prostate is the controlling mechanism for that. There's other parts at play here. For example, your penis, which for the most part is erect during sex, but not always, and it doesn't have to be, but that's controlled by the brain and some nerve fibers, etc. But the prostate itself is attached, or has attached to it, those nerves that enable erections. And if you recall from basic science, an erection is merely your penis filling up with blood and it doesn't escape. Think of it there being like a rubber band at the end of your penis, so the blood stays in there and it gets erect. So when you have surgery, the nerves that surround the prostate sometimes get damaged. And sometimes they're damaged to the point of where they can't be recovered. Other times they're partially damaged. And in other cases, like was the case with me, the prostate is removed for the most part, leaving the nerves intact. And so the physiology behind it, think of your prostate, they say to think of it like an orange, and the orange peel represents the nerve bundles. So if they remove the prostate just by cutting it out, they would cut all the nerves and they would have removed that with the prostate, and we don't really want that. So instead, surgeons have different techniques. Sometimes they slice through the nerves, kind of peel them aside, and then pull the prostate out. Other doctors, like Dr. Samadi, who did my surgery, he has a way of coming in through the side and kind of plucking out the prostate, leaving the nerves for the most part intact. So it really depends on your surgeon and what their technique is. If you are going to have surgery, then have a very deep conversation with your surgeon about their technique. And they will usually refer to this as nerve sparing techniques. A surgeon that doesn't address it or is uncomfortable talking about it or doesn't really care to go into it into detail is someone I would probably not do my surgery. The reason being, you want several outcomes from your surgery. First and foremost, you want the cancer removed with the prostate. That's the goal of it. But it doesn't end there. The second part of it is you want that surgery to leave the nerves as intact as possible and to do as little damage to the sphincter, the pelvic floor muscles, anything that sort of controls urine flow. So it's a multifaceted approach to the surgery and ensuring that you come out of it as best as you can. So let's take the example where the nerves are spared partially or entirely and how that parlays afterwards into recovering erectile function and sexual function as well. Unfortunately, if the nerves are damaged beyond repair, and this does happen sometimes in more complicated cases, then sexual function is very difficult to recover. But it doesn't mean you can't have an enjoyable sex life. I'll talk about that also in a little bit. But let's take the example where you've had surgery, your prostate is removed, your nerves are intact, either entirely or partially, and then you're in recovery. So the first step post-surgery is to make sure that you start the healing process. Your body has gone through a tremendous trauma, and not only has your prostate been removed, but part of your internal organs have been moved aside a little bit, just a little bit, to allow the surgeon to get in there and to, you know, do what he has to do. So there's a little bit of things moving around there, but your body goes into a healing process, and that starts happening right away. Now, right after surgery, not only do you have a catheter and are you in a little bit of pain, but you're not thinking of sex, you're not thinking of having an erection, it's just not on your mind. And your body won't let you because your body is still in a state of shock. So roughly 7 to 10 days after surgery, when your catheter is removed, this now starts the process of getting you back to sexual function, restoration. I guess that's a term I made up, sexual function restoration, SFR. So what I did is as soon as my catheter was removed, I went on a regimen of 5 milligram Cialis. And I did this for 60 days. And I didn't take Cialis to restore erectile function. That's not the role of Cialis after surgery, after your catheter is removed. The role of Cialis is to encourage healing by increasing blood flow, because that's how the drug works. It increases overall blood flow in your body, and this helps the body heal. So I started with 5 milligram Cialis, and I asked my doctor, I said, when, how soon can I try to have an orgasm, whether through masturbation or sexual contact? And he said, well, let's wait about 20 days after the catheter was removed. So let's call it 30 days after surgery. So the first 30 days, you don't want to attempt to stimulate yourself or have any type of sexual relations or any type of sexual function, because your body really needs time to get itself together. And in reality, your body takes about a year to heal 100%. you're going to feel a lot better a lot sooner. But in my experience, it took a year before I really felt everything was as back to normal as it could be. So at 30 days after surgery, there is a test that I decided to try to see if indeed there's anything going on downstairs. And the test that I did, and I encourage you to do as well, was to see if indeed I could maybe use something like Viagra to cause an erection. And so at 30 days, here's what I did. And there were two steps to it, two parts to it. The first one was to see if indeed I could have an orgasm. The second one was to see if I could find a way to create an erection. Now, the order seems backwards. You would think erection first, orgasm second, but over different days, I did two different tests. The first test, I knew I was not capable of having an erection. Your body just is not going to let you have an erection at 30 days, for the most part. I've heard some stories of people that have been able to, but for most people, it's not going to be possible. What I did want to test, however, is if I could connect my mind to sexual function, meaning if I could get myself sexually excited to the point where through tactile masturbation, meaning touching myself, I could force myself to have an orgasm. And to my delight, it worked extremely well. I was kind of surprised because there was absolutely no erection whatsoever. But the key here is you have to get your mind really, really sexually excited. And my recommendation these first few times post-surgery is to do it via masturbation, either with your partner. I actually thought it would be best just to do it by myself because then there's no pressure and there's no one there to sort of, you know, your partner wants to help you. And I think sometimes they'll not help you because you're worried about them and et cetera. So I would do this by myself. So once again, you get yourself very, very excited and potentially, you know, we all have different ways. I won't get into everyone's mindset about what gets them excited, but you know, things like porn, whatever gets you excited, you want to get yourself as excited as you can. Your brain will let you, and then using your hand, try to stimulate yourself. And at least for me, and has been the case with many other people, you'll find you can have an orgasm. And that is that first step is critical because that tells you your brain is willing and able to reconnect sexual activity to that sensation of that release of that orgasm. Now, when you have an orgasm post-surgery, the difference is it's what they call a dry orgasm. There is no secretion. There's obviously no semen coming out because the connection has been cut. However, as you'll discover later on, there is some discharge, some lubricant that some people might call this pre-cum. That's an expression that's used by some, but that does tend to come back. At least for me, it does, because the glands that secrete those are actually a little closer up to the shaft of the penis or something like that, you know, but there is some lubrication that's there. So having the confidence and the delight that my brain would allow me to have an orgasm without an erection, I then took the next step, not exactly at that moment. I think I waited a couple days, but I then got myself 100 milligrams of Viagra. And even though I was still on Cialis, I remember the Cialis was there to help me heal, not to create an erection. I decided to try 100 milligram Viagra, took the tablet, waited about 20 minutes, and did the same thing, got myself super sexually excited, and then started to manipulate my penis, and it went fully erect. I mean, probably one of the best erections of certainly of many years, maybe too much information here, but it was a very promising sign because what that test did is it showed me that my body does have a response to a stimulation that creates that blood flow and allows it to hold that blood flow. And that erection lasted probably about 20, 30 minutes. It feels a little odd. The one thing about Viagra that I found and other men find as well is it does create a sense of blood rushing through your body. And it almost is a warm feeling. It doesn't feel very natural, but it certainly is something that you'll notice. The erection itself, despite it being there, didn't feel like a natural erection like you would have had prior to surgery. And that changes. I'll get to that also. But at that moment, it's just your erect penis and you can stimulate yourself. You can have an orgasm and that's fine. It doesn't feel, the pleasure isn't what you want at that moment. It does come eventually, but that is really just a test to see if your body can make your penis erect once again. And the Viagra shows that it can. So those are the first two tests. First test, can you have an orgasm just without an erection? Yes. Number two, can you use something like Viagra to create an erection? And if that works, that's fantastic. The other benefit of that Viagra test, so one of the benefits is that you can use Viagra to get an erection. But that wasn't good enough for me. I didn't want to rely on Viagra for the erection. I wanted to train my brain to reinstate what it used to be able to do with erections. And so what I did is from that point forward, that was the last time that I used Viagra. So in the weeks that followed, what I would do is every single day, I would masturbate and to the point of orgasm to tell my brain, you know, this is happening quite frequently. And now the brain has to figure out that, oh, when you are sexually excited, I then have to trigger that same response that I triggered when you took the Viagra. That's kind of the secret. You're retraining your brain to do that. And what will happen for some, and you know, my caveat this is my experience may be different than yours, but this is something that I think could work for many people as long as you stay to the regimen. I found as I continued, as the days passed and the weeks passed, I found that I was getting a little more of activity in my penis, meaning I wasn't getting fully erect, but I was getting, something was starting to happen. I could feel it. There was some sensation. It started growing a little bit. It still was kind of soft, but I found over the weeks and weeks and weeks, it got better and better and better. And finally, about 3 months later, I got to a point where if I was properly mentally stimulated and I could get a full erection. And that was just amazing. So there's that process that evolves over time. And, you know, is it a little awkward for some to be masturbating every single day? Yeah, it is. But it's a necessary, you know, it's a pleasure, so you can't knock it. But it's something that seems to work. Now, in the early days of your recovery, and by the early days, I mean, let's call it the first 3, 4, 5, 6 months. Let's assume that you're able to create an orgasm by manual stimulation, meaning your hand. And let's assume you can get a partial erection or a full erection. Then what you'll notice is you're not able to get sexually excited without your hand touching your penis. Meaning when you are fully sexually capable, let's call it pre-surgery, you will find that, and I think this is more true for men than women, but you can look at a sexy person, whether it's a photograph or someone in person, and that gets you excited to the point where suddenly you get an erection. That's been the hallmark of, I guess, sort of the male way, I suppose. But what you'll find is in the first many months after surgery, if you see something that should sexually excite you, you're not going to feel that rush and that anxiety. And you're certainly not going to have an erection unless you actually touch your penis with your hand and manipulate it. For those of you thinking, you know, is oral sex something that's viable at this early point as well? It is, but it's not the same. And the reason being, your partner wants to please you, but they can't feel everything you're feeling. And it's really sort of a coaxing that you have to do. So I would probably say for, you know, 2-3 months after you kind of start restoring a sexual function, You can have sessions with your partner, but I would also say to have a lot of exercise just by yourself, manipulating yourself by your hand. The good thing is this keeps improving over many months. So for me, how long did it take until I could get visually excited just by looking at something? It probably was maybe closer to a year, I think. And, you know, I really tried as much as possible to encourage that redevelopment, but it just, you know, your body will do its job. It takes a lot of patience and it takes a lot of determination as well. I realize that not everyone's surgical outcome is the same. I tend to think I got lucky, but I also believe that there are men who are not exercising their potential after surgery. So only you will know what is possible. So this first period, let's call it the first year, you're going to find it a little, it'll be a little challenging, but you can restore sexual relations very quickly afterwards. But I haven't mentioned anything yet about sex, because that's a little more of a deeper discussion, which I'll get into now. And I hope you have time. That's why I'm doing a podcast. So we have all the time in the world together. But you're also, oh, I forgot to mention, you at some point will start having nighttime erections again. And the nighttime erections are quite profound, because now I'm not saying in the first couple of months, but let's say closer to the first year, and maybe earlier if you're lucky, but you will find that you'll be sleeping and you will have those nocturnal erections, full erections, as hard as it can be, and which is also very promising. When your brain is giving you those erections while you're sleeping, it's really a sign that it has reestablished itself as controlling that function, sexual function. So let's talk about actual sex, intercourse, penetration. And this is a trickier one, because from my discussions with other men and myself included, this recovery is really ideal when you have full erection capability and it lasts, all right? The staying power, the lasting power is where there's some challenge. What you may find, and this is what happened to me, is I got to that point where I could create an erection for myself and it was, you know, not difficult to do. The problem is once the erection was there and you started to have sex or started to penetrate your partner, it tends to disappear very quickly, but you can bring it back again. So the holding pattern of that is where there is some challenge. And I'm not exactly sure why that is, because, you know, it's not a binary condition. It's not that you have an erection or you don't. You have it, but it then loses steam and you have to kind of coax it back a little bit. So I think it's a little more difficult. And, you know, these are areas where some men find continued use of Cialis is potentially helpful. Some men will find using Viagra is going to help them maintain the erection. There are pumps that people use, and there are the injections. I forget the names right now, but I'll look them up and I'll put them on the screen for those of you watching in video. The injections seem a little freaky, because you actually take a needle and you inject it into the shaft of your penis, which is something you never think you want to do, but apparently works very well. And men who take the injection are very satisfied with it. So that's sort of a last case scenario, but you'll have to find ways that this works for you and work around it. I think what's also really important is the understanding of your partner. And it's discouraging. There are a lot of men that will be very saddened and very discouraged, because you might find that your partner, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, they really need you sexually. That's part of the relationship. That's part of what makes it very exciting. The love is certainly there, but the sex is a key part of it. And there is, for a lot of men, this unfortunate, it's a depression that men come across, because they feel that they can't satisfy their wives or their partners. And it's something that you really have to come to terms with, because at all stages of this recovery, you have to always be thinking of the fact that the reason you went through all this is to cure yourself of cancer. That was the goal. And for the most part, for the vast majority of men who have the surgery, that is indeed the outcome. That's what happens. So never lose sight of the fact that there was a reason we had to go through all of this. And a lot of us have gone through this in positive ways, but not everyone has a great outcome, unfortunately. Most men do. So what you have to come to terms with your partner and yourself especially is that you have to readjust. You have to think about ways that you can get sexual satisfaction, that your partner can be satisfied, and that life goes on. You know, this isn't the end of things. I would imagine there are some couples who probably break up over this. That might be the case where your partner is someone who is extremely sexually active and really, really relies on a lot of sex to be satisfied, where suddenly, you know, you feel like you're a former shadow of yourself. So I'm not trying to bring doom and gloom into this, because you can always find an optimistic way to approach anything that comes up in your life. But you have to also realize and be realistic that the sexual relationship will be somewhat different. And my recommendation is to always be very open and honest with your partner about what you're feeling, and to get their feedback and what they're feeling. And most specifically, this is not a point ever to be shy about your sexual relationship. This is something that you have to address. If your partner really wants to be satisfied in different ways, then it's up to the both of you to figure out what that is. It doesn't mean for some people bring in a third. I'm not here to suggest ways to get your sex life back up to, you know, top tier, if it were. But for a lot of people, it's whatever it takes. Sometimes there are tools and toys. I think for any man who really, really is determined not to not have erections, then whether it's the injection, whether it's a pump, or maybe just nature itself, it's up to you to figure out the way to get there. And there are ways to get there. In a perfect world, we could have this surgery, we could heal completely and get our lives back 100%. I will tell you that going into my 9th year post-surgery, and for the most part being satisfied with my own sexual recovery, it is a shadow of its former self, but at the same time, it's not dissatisfying. I find I can get great satisfaction, great pleasure, whether it's myself, with my partner, and that's what's important. Big picture, I look at life as more than just, you know, an orgasm. So not everyone does, but if you can do that, then you can find and really understand that life has so much to offer, and that the fact that your sexual activity may be a little different but still pleasurable is just okay. So that's kind of the sexual discussion that I wanted to have. I would encourage any of you with specific questions to put them into the comments, whether you're listening to the podcast or whether you're watching this video version on YouTube or on Facebook, and I'll try my best to answer. Since I'm not a doctor, I can only relate to you what my experience was, but my hope is that many of you will have a similar experience, and it goes back to the quality of the surgery and also your determination afterwards to really get yourself back into shape and to get that little Mr. Happy down there back to where he needs to be. So I want to thank you for joining me. Thank you for tuning in. I'll have more upcoming podcasts and broadcasts on different topics, including continence and incontinence, cancer recurrence, the surgery itself, what to expect, but whatever will be helpful to navigate through this disease. So that's it for today. Thanks again, and we'll catch you real soon.